Father God, give thanks for this morning to seek your face, hear your word, Lord. We invite you, Lord, to come and speak to us, to give us guidance and revelation into our lives. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to read from verse just 1 to 5. Instead of going through the whole chapter, I just find with Proverbs, if you kind of go really quickly through it, it's hard to really receive anything because there's just so much wisdom and guidance in it. So we're just going to do 1 to 5. So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separate from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Amen. So you can see, even just with five verses, it already covers so many different topics. All right, so we'll start at verse 1. Better is a man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. And so in the Proverbs, it talks quite a bit, not just in this chapter, but it talks quite a bit about being poor and how it's really difficult. It's not necessarily something that you want to strive for, and kind of points out some of the disadvantages of being poor. And it's just the reality. However, as much as, you know, you don't want to be in a circumstance of being poor, and I think sometimes we need to remember that, like, you know, because, you know, as a Christian, you know, we want to have compassion for the poor. And Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, does say, blessed is the poor in spirit, but it's not blessed just to be poor. It's really difficult. However, there is something worse than being poor. What's worse is someone who is not walking in integrity. It says it's better to be poor than someone who walks in his own integrity. What is someone who does not walk in integrity? It's someone, it says, who is perverse in speech and is a fool. So specific with what that is. Someone who is perverse in speech, not, and thus is labeled a fool. So what is perverse in speech? It's someone, when we say someone who is perverse in speech, someone who lies, someone who manipulates, twisted truth, has ulterior motives, you know, in the way they conduct themselves. And this is not okay, right? This type of life. And so, you know, this is not what we want to strive for. So whether you've been in your workplace, career, the way you're with your brothers and sisters, don't lie. Don't twist the truth. And why do why do people do this? Why would you lie, cheat your way? It's to get ahead, right? You think, okay, if I do this, if I present myself in this way, then I'm going to get ahead and then I'm going to accumulate, I'll become more successful. And if I get more successful, accumulate more health, or not health, wealth, then I'll be happy. That's kind of the motivation. Why would you, you know, lie, have this perverse speech? It's foolish to think that you're going to, by doing this, that's why it's called foolishness. Because you think by doing this that you'll be happy, that you'll get what you want. But that's not true. Can't find it. Ah, here it is. In Matthew 16:26, it says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" That's from Jesus. Right? We think we're getting everything what we want, but in the end, we're not happy with ourselves. We've compromised. We forfeited our soul, right? And you see this so often, especially for those who have done that, especially in celebrity culture, people who are born into and maybe taught, and maybe it's been taught that it's okay to conduct yourselves in this way just to accumulate wealth, and we see they're not happy. Okay? Verse 2 goes on to say, "Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs." And this is kind of following the line of what a fool is, right? And when we're talking about knowledge, it's not just, really smart, but specifically, knowledge is discerning right from wrong. In other words, it's wisdom. Wouldn't you want to be somebody who can discern right from wrong? Be able to, when you have several different choices in front of you, you would know what to choose. Then, and if you're able to discern that and choose the right, then I guess your life would be on the best possible trajectory. And of course, the best choice that we can make is for Jesus, right? And so this was life-changing for myself. Because before I knew about Jesus, before I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, what was my knowledge? What was my truth? It was whatever I wanted to do and whatever made me happy. It was the pursuit of just pleasure. That was it, right? And of course, when you give your life to Jesus and you accept his teachings and guidance into your life, you realize there's something more to pursue than just your own pleasure, just your own success and wealth. And it really does give you purpose versus if you're just seeking your pleasure and accumulating more wealth and fame, at some point you're like, what does this actually do? But at the end, you're also like, well, if you don't know Jesus, you say, well, what choice do I have? What choice have I? I guess this is the best scenario. So it's not good to be without knowledge. And he who hurries his footsteps errs. And so that's just some wisdom, which is you don't want to walk in foolishness. You want to walk in wisdom. Don't rush. Don't be impulsive. Oftentimes, it's because we are rushing ourselves, rushing our footsteps, that we make mistakes, that we do things without thinking. Because what happens when we do things without thinking? It's just whatever flows from our impulses and our flesh, which is to protect ourselves, right? Be defensive and just seek our own desires. Next, verse 3, it says, "The foolish of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. The foolish of man ruins his way. All to say, in our natural, we are all foolish. We don't have to be fools because hopefully you have the knowledge, the wisdom to make the right decision. But we are inherently foolish, and it ruins us. I look to my son. He is 6, and he's so foolish. The things he does, you know. I mean, example, we're in the elevator, and this is maybe a year or two ago. We're in the elevator. We're full of people. He looks up at this granny, and he goes like this. He points at her and goes, like a shooting. And he goes, pow, right into her face. And then the granny says, it's the kind of like, what? How? That's so rude. How dare you do that? I think, and she's like very upset. And we're like, what are you doing? And my son looks at her and goes, it's just pretend. Just joking. It's not real. That's my son. Now, kind of funny and cute as a child, as he does this, not okay if you're an adult and you start doing this. Many things my child does, you know, whether it be, you know, the way he bugs his sister, like, or the way he, you know, talks to his friends, or just being very loud and running around. Okay. It's foolish behavior. Okay as a child, but not okay as an adult. But it's inherently in us. And hopefully maturity brings that out so you're like, that's not the right thing to do. Right? In our flesh, our foolishness is, yeah, we would want to lie. I've had the silliest, I struggle less so now, but there are moments where, you know, I want to lie to my wife to cover up things I did. She says, hey, did you eat those 2 pizzas? And I say, no. But I did. This was before we were married. Or no, this is after we got married. She caught me eating 2 large pizzas, and I lied. Why? I didn't want her to think. I don't even know. But that was just in me. No, I didn't eat that. And then later, I was like, why did I lie about eating pizza? I was like, yes, I ate pizza. We want to lie. You know, we want to fornicate. We just want to do what we want. And it's important to be aware of our foolishness so that, and be humble enough that we are foolish so that we can be smart to not act like a fool. I would love to say, hey, I would never. You know, there's not a part of me that would ever cheat on my wife. You know, all women are just sisters, like family. I would like to say that, but if I humble myself, I'm like, oh no, like, you know, seeing especially like, you know, many people, even pastors have fallen. So I have to humble and say, hey, you know what? I could cheat. And when I think about the fact, like, I could cheat, it's a possibility, then I think of the consequences of what would happen if I would cheat. And if I were to cheat, it would destroy my family. I don't know what my children would think. I don't know, like, the relationship with my wife, if we would continue, and even with if we did choose to continue, how difficult it would be. And when I guess entertain those things, the fear of the Lord and the fear of my wife comes upon me. And I'm like, that's so. And if you don't think about it, that's, again, this goes back to the wisdom, like, you know, you're hasty. Hasty person errs. You don't think about it, but if you're someone who takes time, you think about it, you're like, then in my head, like, there's what's going on in my flesh, and there's what's going on in mine. And my mind, I'm like, it's not worth it. This is a bad decision. Don't even ever put yourself in a situation. I mean, that's just one example. But of course, there's other things. But all to say, with my son, back to my son, my job as a parent is so that he won't be a fool. As a pastor with my congregation, with you guys, it's, you know, I have to guide you and teach you guys and point things out and be honest with you guys, because I want you to not be a fool. And if I don't teach and guide my child how to socialize, how to act around his friends, then it's a disservice for when he grows up. It's going to be a disservice. And it says, the foolishness of man ruins his ways, and his heart rages against the Lord. It rages because, again, we want to do what we want to do. We don't want to be obedient. We don't want to do what God says. Maybe you do, because at least, you know, as the Holy Spirit, as you're walking in the Holy Spirit and you're in relationship, that's become more of a desire. But if you're not a Christian, you naturally want to rebel, right? Oftentimes, even the conversations I have with new believers, the thing that always comes up is they question God's goodness. If God is so good, why is the world like this? If God's so good, In other words, they're blaming God. So inherently, that's just what, I don't know, like, always have those conversations. So inherently, without, I guess, the Holy Spirit in us, we tend to rebel. Verse 4, it says, wealth adds many friends, and a poor man is separated from his friend. And again, this goes back, it's not about what's right or wrong, right? This is just the reality. And when you have, you know, if you have a lot of wealth, if you have a lot of resources, people will come to you. That's just natural. If you don't have those resources, then why would people come to you in that regard? But I think there's wisdom in recognizing, like, this is not necessarily a good thing, bad thing. I guess it's a beneficial thing, but we also have to be wise. Because the point is, when you have a lot of resources, lots of friends. If you don't have a lot of resources, no or little friends. And that's also just the ups and downs of life. We see this in the prodigal son, right? He receives his inheritance. He goes off so many friends in one moment. He loses, and it says he squandered and was wasteful, and he lost it all. He lost all his friends. All to say, if you're blessed and you have many resources and you have lots of friends, I think don't put too much value in the fact that you have lots of friends. Because, I don't know, they may or may not stick around. Sometimes you don't know, and sometimes that's why it's good to go through difficult times, is then you see who your real friends are. Because they're going to stick around. Good times, bad times, bad times. Are they going to be still there for you? Are they willing to sacrifice, spend time, resources? And if they are, praise God, then you know who your true friends are. Finally, verse 5, it says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. A false witness is in the context of a court of law. And it's very important that you have true witnesses. The whole premise of justice is the truth. It's the truth, well, it's the truth, if you're innocent, that will set you free. So it's very important. And so if you commit perjury, which is you lie in court, it's a very serious offense, and you will be punished. This is in the context of the court of law, the importance of being truthful, But it's also for us as people, as Christians. We need to be truthful, honest, real with who we are. Don't portray yourself to be something you're not. Don't hide things in your heart because you're afraid of what people will think. You have to be honest. And especially to do relationship with each other, it requires honesty. That's what intimacy is, right? It's us allowing each other to know each other and letting each other to be known by one another. Even the bad stuff. And so I always, you know, something we've learned, me and my wife, is even if she's like super upset at me and there's something, or she's done something that would upset me, if there's anything on our heart, we must share it with each other. Because if you don't, who am I having a relationship with? It's not the real you. I mean, it's still the real you, but there's a part of you that you're not sharing with me. And if I'm in a relationship with you, I want the real you, good and the bad. That's relationship. That's family, right? And really, when we're talking about family, especially in a Christian context where we call each other brothers and sisters, family, to me, that's what family is. It's people who accept the good and the bad, the ugly. And yet they're still in relationship with you. You're still my family. Best example is my parents, right? We have no filter. Sometimes we need to have no filter, but we need to be considerate with how we share. No matter what, still my mom and dad. No matter what, I'm still their son. Wouldn't that be great if that is actually to the level that we accept each other and do relationship with each other? And so we need to be honest. And then second part of verse 5 is, and he who tells lies will not escape. Sometimes people commit perjury. They lie in the court of law and they get away with it. But God knows. Right? You can't get away with it. He knows what's going on in people's hearts. Matthew 12:36, it says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. And so there will be justice. You can't get away with it. So if you're not being true and honest, I would recommend strongly just repent. Repent from that. And you know what? I got to say, like, to be something you're not, to lie, I imagine it must be so tiring and stressful, right? To keep track of the lies. You know, I play this game called, it's called Mafia. And so you got to kind of pretend in this game. It's just a game. You just pretend that you're something and you're not. And in this game, you lie. And it's so stressful. In fact, it's so stressful, I have to convince myself it's not stressful. So this is my first time being honest about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally cool. I love being Mafia. I don't particularly love it, but I have to convince myself I'm okay to play well. And it's so stressful, and it's just a game. Imagine in life, you're constantly keeping up this facade, these lies. It must be so difficult, right? So much simpler to simply just be you. Just be you and be honest. And walk in the Lord. I want to invite Cardia up. If there's a piece of wisdom, I mean, that's the thing with Proverbs. There's so much wisdom, but it's all over the place with the different topics. And so it's hard to follow sometimes. That's why I only did 5 verses. And so if there was something that spoke to you, I feel like the main theme is to not be foolish. And just walk in integrity in the Lord. To be real, to be honest, to be truthful. Yeah, and let's just commit to doing that in the Lord. Whether it be in your work, in ministry, in our sharing, in our preaching. We're just being ourselves. We're not trying to impress. We're just trying to be honest so that we can build sincere relationships and just be real, be a witness.
Be my source, be my light.